Hi, this is Pastor Greg, and you're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. Get more at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. That's Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glass.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for him World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
I thank and praise God for this borewell that God has enabled us to put in this village with the prayer and support of Pastor Greg Young and Chosen Generation Radio Ministry, and by the prayer and support of the Pastor Greg Young and the Chosen Generation Ministry, we could put the borewell in this village for the community. Before, this community was drinking dirty water, and that was really causing a lot of sickness. But now they are getting pure and fresh water, and all the community is so thankful for Pastor Greg Young and Chosen Generation Ministry and all the supporters. And we pray for all of you that God would bless you and God would use you so that we can put more and more borewells in a poor and a needy community, those who are really having a problem of the water. And this is this borewell we have put, and pure and fresh water is coming, and we are so thankful for all of you. Especially we thank to Pastor Greg Young and Chosen Generation Ministry that help us and support us to put the borewell. Thank you. God bless you.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
And welcome to the program. Great to have you with me. Thanks so much for being here. I know you have a choice of where you can listen each and every day, and I thank you for keeping it tuned here to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. Oof, big story. Big stories going on today. Lots happening on the program today. If you missed any parts of yesterday, I've got it all up. If you go to the show archives, you can watch the videos as well as listen to the audio. We had live from Nigeria, Masara Kim, who will have a further update on what's happening in Nigeria in the bottom of hour number three. But we had a full hour with Masara Kim, including video evidence showing that the Islamic-run state of Nigeria is pushing to become an Islamic republic, and the military is murdering Christians. We have it on film. We show it to you in that segment. The Nigerian military is killing Christians. and the world is silent, including the United States. Yesterday, Sam Faddis was on with us, former CIA. We talked with him about Brennan's activity, about the treasonous behavior that's taken place, about the coup that was run against President Trump, and about the fact that the Biden CCP or Biden China arrangement has been known by the intelligence community for really close to 40 years. But they specifically knew about the arrangements that were happening between Joe Biden, Hunter Biden, and the CCP, and that Joe Biden is an asset of the Chinese Communist Party. The CIA knows that, and yet he still sits in the White House. So we brought that to you. Also, Tucker Carlson's biographer was with us yesterday as well. Great interview with him. So great stuff on the program yesterday. Great stuff on the program today. We'll have our visit with Newsbusters MRC and Censor Tracks Tieran Rose Mandelberg talking about the fake news issues. Rick Manning will be with us, and we'll be talking about what are they doing on the Hill. Does McCarthy have the votes? Will they impeach? Will they take action? What's Jim Jordan doing? Everybody talked about Jim Jordan is the hero. Well, you witnessed last week as I sat right here with Gregory Stenstrom and Leah Hoops on the program and sent a text directly to Jim Jordan and Chip Roy with Gregory Stenstrom added in, and then a copy of the interview that we did and the evidence that was laid out regarding the criminal charges that they have sent directly to Jim Jordan and the House Judiciary. And we know that the staff has blocked that information from coming forward. We know. And we put them on notice that we're aware of what their staff is doing and that they need to take action. So lots of stuff going on. And then let's see, Melanie Collette will be with me as well. Michael Orr, there's a lot to unpack there, folks. A lot more than meets the eye. Let me just say, a lot more than meets the eye. My question is this. Is Michael Orr a product of a woke BLM-run NFL? Remember Colin Kaepernick? Oh, I know that story real well. Matter of fact, my son played Pop Warner football against Colin Kaepernick. I was a chaplain on the other sideline when we played Colin Kaepernick's team. I know all about that. We'll talk about it coming up. All right, David Shostokas joins me right now. We've got a big story for you. President Trump, as most of you are likely aware, has been indicted for the fourth time. The problem is they can't get anything on him. The problem is they can't get any footing. They can't get any traction. And so they're just going to keep throwing these lawsuits at him. And here we go. There is a reverend who has been included in this indictment, and David has been retained by the reverend to be his defense counsel. So I welcome David Shostokas to the program. David, welcome. Good to have you.
Great to be with you, Greg. Here each and every Wednesday, and we look forward to generally commenting on the news. Today, actually, I'm in the news, a part of it. But it's exciting to talk to you. Yes, as you mentioned, of course, the president, President Trump, was indicted yesterday, but there was also 18 other people included in that indictment that came out of Fulton County, Georgia, yeah. One of whom is my client. The Reverend Stephen Lee. Reverend Lee is, in fact, a pastor with an active congregation in suburban Chicago area. I would like to tell people that. And while I was responding yesterday to the New York Times, to the New York Post, the Daily Beast, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, and Fox News, among others. I got commitments from all the folks to when they speak reverently in here that they utilizes earned title as an ordained minister and refer to him as reverently because in fact he is an active pastor with a congregation here. And so it's been a whirlwind since yesterday morning because of course Fannie Willis in the Fulton County District Attorney's Office did this about what 8 or 10 o'clock at night on a on the night before yesterday on Monday night they did this in the middle of the night. So I woke up to this whirlwind, and the reason why I was finally of interest to some of these folks is that last year the special purpose grand jury in Fulton County subpoenaed people from all over the country to come and testify before the grand jury. To my knowledge, I'm the only lawyer anywhere in the country that successfully opposed their subpoena. And here in Illinois, they their efforts to bring Reverend Lee to Georgia were found to be illegal or incompatible with Illinois law by an Illinois judge. And I think it's important for people that when we start this conversation off, that among our involvements in this is to understand that Fannie Willis and her team lost to us already one time. They lost to us already one time here in Illinois, and we expect that they will lose again in this effort going forward. And so we'll get into talking about a little bit more about the indictment and the efforts that they've got going on there. But as a matter of actual legal work and the work that they put into and this not what they call 98-page indictment, it is something that a first-year law student would be embarrassed to hand to their professor and say, this is the product of my legal work and the product of an investigation that I was involved in for 2.5 years. It's an embarrassing piece of legal work, and I expect that somewhere along the line there's going to be some sort of judge that says, no, you can't criminalize the things that you tried to criminalize. So we'll talk about the RICO statute, but yeah, I am actually involved in this case, and we'll be consulting with other defense counsel as time goes forward. We've yet to actually make a formal statement to the rest of the national media that's interested and involved in that. So for all practical purposes, although I did have just do an interview with my good friend Cat Peterson in Central Illinois before I came on with you, City's 92.9 in Bloomington Normal in Central Illinois. So you and Cat are the first people that are talking to me, despite the fact that I had all these inquiries from major media around the country. So I saved any of our original public comments on this for you and Cat, because you and Cat have been, of course, we've been accommodated. We've been involved in talking about the news for a long time. And so I think it's really, really important that folks like yourself and Cat Peterson have access to the kinds of information that some of the major media is looking for, but that you can't necessarily trust that they're going to present the actual facts of what's happening here. So I'm really kind of feeling special that we had the opportunity to talk about this in detail with you before we had the opportunity to follow up and talk about it in detail with the other folks around the country that want to talk about it.
Well, and I, David, I'm appreciative that we have this opportunity for us to visit, because it gives you a platform and an opportunity to be able to share what's happening and message what needs to be shared about each of these issues and situations. There's an article, I don't know if you're familiar with it, in Religion News, where the question is asked about Reverend Lee's status with Living Word Lutheran Church, and of course they're going after that. They're going after his status. But a Michael Baer, who's head of communications for LCMS, said that Lee is a pastor in the denomination, but described him as retired, saying his status is emeritus. According to this article. Now, I know as a minister that does not mean that you're not actively engaged or involved in the congregation, nor does it mean that you are not, you know, preaching and again you are an active member. It does not change his status as a minister.
It not only doesn't change, if I might correct the record on that, when they say that he's retired or emeritus or something like that, there is no other pastor at that congregation. He is the only pastor at the congregation. So I would suggest to you that makes him pretty active. He is, in fact, the only minister at that congregation, which is located down, I don't know, about 10 minutes from my house. And from my understanding is that the media had trucks and TV trucks and everything stationed outside the church area and the ministry and in their parking lot there yesterday, trying to find some sort of news in that yesterday. And I've had some conversations, and some members of the congregation are now referring any of those kinds of things to me, rather than trying to deal with those people themselves.
Well, this is, I think people need to understand that this is very typical of media. David, you've been in the middle of these media firestorms. Your experience in Pennsylvania in 2020 with the election situation, your own run for attorney general there in Illinois. The media is going to do everything they can because they're after Donald Trump, and not just Trump. We have to understand that this isn't just about Donald Trump. This is about every American who holds to God, family, country, and traditional values. The media considers you an enemy, and they want to destroy you. And so, you know, you look at the Missouri Synod, and I'm very familiar with them as well, because they hold to a traditional biblical value system. They believe in marriage between a man and a woman. They broke off from the Evangelical Lutheran Church, which believes there's 17 million ways to get to heaven, including Allah and Islam. They believe in sodomy. They believe in killing babies. They are the epitome of the apostate church. And the Missouri Synod is not. The Missouri Synod is actually the epitome of the Church of Acts. It's the epitome of a biblically centered Christian church. And the media hates that, can't stand that. And that is another reason for them to go after this minister.
Yeah, well, in terms of that, you're the expert there. That's in terms of the interrelationships and the doctrine of various kind of congregations or various sects. You're the expert on that regard. All I can tell you is that Reverend Lee has an active congregation. He actively works there, actively preaches. And for somebody to say he's retired or emeritus in terms of that kind of status, I can only tell you that this active congregation, he is the only pastoring this congregation. So I would suggest to you that's far from being retired.
Let's talk about the issues of the indictment that's being brought. There's a RICO Act. There's something having to do with Floyd and Cutter, I think it is, Kutar, and a woman who was an election worker named Ruby, that this all kind of centers around.
Well, at least as to the indictment involving Reverend Lee,
right?
There's some some accusations that they were tampering with or trying to do something regarding a potential witness. And I'm not even sure what somebody's a potential witness of, because there was actually no particular legal case that was involved in the allegations. Let's just talk a little bit about the indictment before we get to
those specifics. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think it's worthwhile to talk a bit about this Georgia RICO statute. And the Georgia RICO statute is, of course, it stands for Racketeering Influenced Corrupt Organization, is what that stands for. And it's largely designed and was put together like the federal RICO statute to capture criminal activity that's put together largely by, mob bosses and street gangs that are...
cartels.
Yeah, that are actually, you know, killing people and selling drugs and doing serious things, but they're using the cover of legitimate businesses to commit these other kinds of crimes. And so they're designed to do that. And for somebody to be guilty of the violation of the RICO laws in Georgia, there has to be an enterprise, an enterprise with a common goal. And then as to a particular individual, that individual has to be guilty of two separate criminal acts that are in furtherance of the enterprise. And what's curious about the indictment itself is that the indictment talks about, they have a list of what they call 161 overt acts. And among these overt acts, particularly regarding Reverend Lee, is they say that he committed two acts, one of which is that he went to knock on the door of a neighbor of Ruby Freeman. And then they say that it was somehow criminal to go and knock on Ruby Freeman's door. And that he also had a telephone conversation with a few other folks. And somehow or other, being on the telephone is criminal. I suggest to you that that's not criminal, but that's the kind of thing that they built into this indictment that not only is it sounds so silly when you read it, they say that he committed some sort of criminal act by knocking on somebody's door and knocking on somebody else's door and then talking on the telephone. These are supposedly criminal acts. But they're saying that the lawyers for the president committed criminal acts by giving legal advice. They say that Mark Meadows committed a criminal act by lobbying a state legislature. They say that... Giuliani and Ellis and Sidney Powell committed a criminal act by filing a lawsuit. These are I encourage folks. I encourage folks to really actually take the time to read the 161 things that are normal daily life in the life of people that are engaged in politics, engaged in election investigations, engaged in giving legal advice, engaged in walking up to somebody's door that you'd like to talk to and knocking on their door. See where you see anything criminal in anything out of these 161, what they call overt acts. And I might also mention that the statute itself says criminal acts, and they don't finish up in terms of the drafting that would, like I said, would embarrass a first-year law student. The drafting itself doesn't say there's 161 criminal acts. They say that there's 161 overt acts in furtherance of a conspiracy. This is supposed to be 161 criminal acts in furtherance of a criminal enterprise. And so they don't even track the language of the statute in terms of putting together the indictment. And basically, this is... I would suggest that it is subject to challenges for not advising the defendants of what it is that they're actually accused of. And so there's going to be challenges, and the hope that this gets to some sort of trial in 6 months is just, she's just blowing smoke about that. If it gets to trial in 2 years, you're going to have 19 lawyers filing pretrial motions, and the court will have to deal with them sequentially, and once they deal with them sequentially, the court will have to make sure that the ruling on one of the motions that was made by one defendant is consistent with the rulings on other motions made by other defendants. You're going to have 19 defendants that are going to have somewhere between 7 and 10 preemptory challenges. And so this is there's no reason to believe that this is going to see the see an actual trial courtroom for a couple of years. But I want to go back as to our situation. We've already beaten them once here in court in Illinois, and are very, very optimistic that we will successfully defend Reverend Lee when it comes to being in Georgia.
Well, as you know, if someone has expressed that they are in crisis, for a minister to go to their home and knock on their door to offer aid or assistance would not constitute an odd behavior necessarily in my thought process, David.
No, that's you're exactly right. That would not constitute an odd behavior, and it would constitute less of an odd behavior if you knew even more about Reverend Lee's background. Prior to becoming an ordained minister, he was in fact a law enforcement officer himself. He was an NCIS special agent for the Naval Criminal Investigative Services. He's a very, very interesting man. He was chaplain to the New York City Police Department during 9/11, and he's been chaplain to many law enforcement agencies through the course of his career, because he brings together his unique experiences, having been a law enforcement officer himself, and then having gone and become an ordained minister subsequent to that. So he's got a personal law enforcement background in addition to his background as an ordained minister. And so it's not odd behavior at all, and it's certainly not criminal. Not criminal. And that's what they're going to have to prove. They're going to have to prove that these things are not, in addition to whatever these actions are that they call in furtherance of the conspiracy, they have to prove that these actions are in fact criminal. It's utterly impossible. I enjoy what I do. I enjoy being a lawyer. I enjoy giving people advice. But frankly, it's sometimes a very strange world to live in, being a lawyer in a world that where the legal system itself has become lawless. When there are people that you go into court to try and make an argument and assume that the argument you're making is compliant with the law, and the people on the other side say, "Oh no, who cares? They knocked on a door," and you go, "Wait, your head blows up,
right?
When you're confronted in a courtroom with stuff that is just emotional and bears no relationship to anything that you know in 30 years of experience and 20 years of education, it bears no experience." And sometimes that's one of the difficulties is that we have these conversations and we assume that the people on the other team are going to also follow the actual traditional rules and the actual law. But this follows nothing. This 98 pages follows nothing. And so it's a real challenge when you're trying to do something compliant with the law to defend somebody properly, and the other team doesn't care.
Well, it's like having an argument with somebody about the color of the sky, right, and saying the sky is blue, and you're both looking at it, and they make some absurd statement about no, the color of the sky is actually, polka dot checkers or some, and you're you can't have a reasonable conversation when the other side is literally denying any truth or facts. And I think what makes it, more dangerous and how this impacts all of us is that you have judges that are siding with this this radically new paradigm of reality, a reality that is created within the court. It's like they write a fiction, and the judge listens to the fiction, and the judge says, okay, yeah, I like that fiction, so that's how I'm going to rule, in spite of all of the facts and all of the evidence and all of the real-world accounts suggesting an entirely different story and evidencing an entirely different story.
This is where we're getting to, and this is problematic. It's extremely frustrating that you're talking, you're essentially talking to the wall, and then you have the other kinds of media that takes this stuff seriously.
That they don't
analyze it for what it is. That there's no way, there's no commentator someplace in the media says, knocking on a door, that's a criminal act. A lawyer giving legal advice, that's a criminal act. They go, oh no, there's 161 criminal activities, as opposed to outlining for their audience exactly what that indicates. You have these sycophants that are supporting this alternate reality that's pretending something to be the law. And so, fortunately, last year, when we got one of these pretend documents appearing in the court in Illinois, we pointed out to the judge here in Illinois that this was a pretend document, that this pretend document said that it complied with stuff, and it didn't. They just made blanket statement that there was in compliance. But all the facts and everything that was associated with the argument for compliance did not comply. And fortunately, we had a judge that in fact said, no, you're right. This does not comply with the requirements necessary for us to enforce this subpoena from Georgia. And the indictment itself is like the document that we had to deal with here in court in Illinois, and we had a legitimate judge that said, you're right. And hopefully, as time goes forward, sooner or later, somewhere along the line, we will wind up with a legitimate judge that says, knocking on a door is not a crime. A lawyer giving legal advice is not a crime. Filing a lawsuit is not a crime. These are lobbying a state legislature is not a crime.
Right.
If you read through these 160 some what they call overt acts, you'll be hard pressed to find a crime any place in the document. And so hopefully there'll be a judge that will say, what? There's a brand new judge. From what I understand, it's been assigned to a brand new judge. I don't know his history. We can hope and pray that he will have the appropriate guidance to and have the intestinal fortitude to make a decision based upon the law and not based upon these alleged emotions. And this is where we have to pray for, is that you'll have somebody that will have that. A lot of judges, of course, the problem these days is none of them want to be heroes. And it's too bad that following the law these days is an heroic act because they just want to keep their heads down. They want to get their stick around long enough to have their pensions and have their own personal spot in the firmament secure. And that doesn't always, that's not always secure if in fact the judge follows the law.
Well, that's kind of the challenge that's being faced right now by President Trump in the third indictment, which is the one having to do with the election issues.
Right.
And now I did not follow, perhaps you did, what happened this past Friday in that hearing? What was decided regarding that particular indictment?
I do not know. I've been studying Georgia law.
Okay. All right. I just thought I'd take a swing at it because I honestly don't have any idea. I know that we were talking about that.
Back up to that for a moment. Yes,
yeah.
I have some knowledge of what happened. and what was at issue there, because the government asked for a broad based what they call protective order in the case in coming out of Jack Smith's office in Washington D.C., the special counsel case in Washington D.C. And the broad based protective order was theoretically designed to have limit what President Trump could say or talk about relative to the information that they came out from discovery. And so the President Trump's team certainly said, you know, there's a political campaign going on, and it would be inappropriate to try and muzzle President Trump while he's in the midst of running for president again. And the judge kind of wound up in a middle lane, but ultimately she put together what I would describe as a trap for the president, because she issued an order that right. limited who the president could talk about if these individuals were in fact part and parcel of the case and part and parcel of the discovery in the case. Well, my understanding is one of the principal witnesses for the prosecution in the J6 indictments against President Trump is Vice President Pence. Vice President Pence obviously is also a candidate for, he's put himself forward as a candidate for president.
Yep.
For 2024.
Yep.
He'll be on the stage in the next 10 days when it comes to the debates.
Yep.
And theoretically, under the order that the judge issued in the Washington, D.C. case, theoretically, President Trump would be prohibited in talking about Vice President Pence. Wow.
This is reminiscent, right, of, you know, you can't say anything about the Hunter Biden laptop.
Yeah, it's exactly the same thing. It's even worse because you got an actual judicial order muzzling a particular political candidate. And theoretically, if they're on the stage, Pence can talk about whatever he wants.
But Trump can't respond.
Can't respond. It is just such an upside down, topsy turvy world where the good guys are bad and the bad guys are good.
I would have to think that Trump's attorneys would attempt to file an injunction to stop that in light of the fact that they are going to be on the stage together and in a debate. I mean, I don't know, yeah. Right? Would that be?
They would do something what's called an interlocutory appeal.
Okay.
And an interlocutory appeal is when there's an ongoing case and a judge makes a ruling within that ongoing case, and you believe that judge has made that ruling in error, and that ruling will have such a detrimental impact on the case that it needs to be reversed before the case is completed. That's not something that appellate courts like to do.
Right.
They like to have the case play out and then make decisions afterwards when they analyze the impact of everything to begin with. But on occasion, an appellate court will take up an interlocutory appeal when the issue is so important.
Right.
And that can affect the outcome in ways that can't be fixed afterwards.
Which this would certainly seem to fit that particular criterion, it would appear. All right, let's take a break, and then when we come back, I believe there's a couple of other things that we talked about, but we'll figure that out in the break, folks. And when we come back, we'll tell you what those are. we'll be back with more Chosen Generation Radio coming up right after this. You know what? Your health is so critically important. And as someone who really understands that, David is someone who understands that as well. I can tell you that these products that I've been taking have had a dramatic impact on my health. And in fact, this past Friday, our specific topic was heart health. And the formula, the Vibe formula and the resveratrol formula, were created and enhanced by Dr. Ben because his father had been given literally weeks to live because of a heart condition. He's now in his 90s. And when he goes in and sees his cardiologist, the doctor says to him, this is seriously the same heart that I looked at 25 years ago? I can't even believe you're still here, and I can't believe that that heart that is beating in your chest is the same heart. It works. I'll show you how you can place your order today. And when you do, you're also feeding orphans, you're providing for widows, and you're providing fresh water for people who otherwise would go without. Check it out.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
Hey, this is Pastor Greg. I just want to take a minute to walk you through how to sign up at CGR Wellness. So you're going to type in www.cgrwellness.com. And that is going to take you over here. And the first thing you're going to do is you're going to come over here and you are going to, we're going to shrink this down so it doesn't get in our way. You're going to go right over here to create account. And it is going to offer you the opportunity to create an account. You've got to type in an email address. So we're going to type in an email address. Good if I put a good one in there, right? There we go. And now there is a window that pops up. Now, when this window pops up, here's what you need to do. You need to just X out. Just close that window. Okay? Just close that window. Now we go over here. And we'll use a strong password. And then we'll put in our name. And we'll put in our last name. And then we'll put in an address. And the city. And we'll choose our state. And we don't need a phone number. And it wants us to make sure that we're not a robot, so we'll do that. Wow. And we'll create the account. And now the account's been created. Now, there is a share code. I don't remember what it is right now, but it doesn't really matter. Now you'd go over here and type in Vibe. It's your first product you're looking for. And there is the fruit and veggies superfood liquid multivitamin. Click on that. And you're going to order. I recommend that you order two, and I'll tell you why. If you order two of them and add those to the cart, now here comes the cart. Now, you're going to get your second bottle for half off when you type in Chosen Gen Radio. Chosen Gen Radio and click apply. And that's going to give you $20 off. Plus, you're going to unlock free shipping. So now when you get your order, you'll get no shipping charge, 2 months worth for the price of a month and a half. And then you can go back over and you can securely check out, put in your billing information and so on, and you're off to the races. So that's how you do it. Nice and easy. Again, cgrwellness.com. When that little window pops up, just X out of it. You don't need that because you're going to get a $20 discount. Once you completed the form and created the account, go to the top, click in Vibe, and then go. Now, I use Vibe, Resvante, Ultra Shot, the EPA fish oil, the Flex, and I also use, this is your apple cider vinegar, and this is your ashwagandha. I use those as well. I'm going to run through this really quick with you. Again, omega-3. And then these products up here. Your Vibe. Your Resvante. The Ultra Shot. And the Flex. Those are the ones that I personally use every single day. I can recommend each and every one of those to you and just assure you that they do a great job. They've made a gigantic difference in my health. All right. God bless you. God bless your health. And thank you for supporting our Indian ministry through this as well. Here and welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. Well, actually, we spent almost our entire break talking about the case. there is a sense, that this is the fourth indictment now against President yes. Trump. It seems as though, from just an observation perspective, I mean, they are bound and determined, and there's been released, you know, video audio of Joe Biden saying, you know, basically we're going to do everything we can to make sure that he can't run for office again, that he can't get back into the White House. There are those that are concerned that all of this is potentially going to make him unable to mount a campaign, unable to fight that battle while he's being bombarded by these other battles. And part of it is a sense, and this is, I'm alluding to what you were talking about as we were coming out about, you know, the invincibility, so to speak, or that the other side has so much, not that they have the right evidence, not that they have the right, attack, not that these indictments are valid. But simply that the system, as we were talking about going into the break, is so severely rigged that the potential ability for him to win against this system is pretty difficult. And you mentioned something coming out of the break. So talk about that if you would.
Yeah, no, it's a big challenge in that regard, because the decision makers within the system, many are unfortunately part and parcel of what we would describe as the other team, who doesn't care about the law.
Right.
They care about winning, and they don't understand that by eviscerating things like attorney-client privilege, by eviscerating the ability to lobby the legislature, by eviscerating to have an actual hearing, a legitimate and fair hearing in a courtroom, they don't understand that what they're doing to win is destroying America. And this is the huge danger that we're facing. And it's sometimes, like I said, when you're in a courtroom and these things happen, your head just spins. And so it's going to be a huge challenge. I'd like to think that one of the other sides of this is that the establishment folks, including Mr. Biden, that are so focused on making sure that they have damaged President Trump in so many ways, they're failing to understand that they're actually going to motivate 15, 20, 30, 40 million people that Mr. Trump represents. They do realize that the attacks on President Trump are what he says. Those attacks on President Trump are not attacks on him. They're attacks on the people that he represents that have been left behind by American politicians, who in fact have been compromised in many respects by foreign governments, foreign entities, or in fact even our own, if you will, military-industrial complex. There's people making billions of sending this stuff to Ukraine. Mitch McConnell even said, "Oh, this is not so bad sending it to Ukraine, because all that money actually is being spent with American military contractors." What? That it's not like we're sending all this money to Ukraine. We're actually American companies are benefiting from this. You know, this is a sick comprehension, and this is. Because, of course, while we're doing that, they're sending billions to Ukraine, and yet somehow or other, $700 a family in relief to the people in Maui is supposed to help them out. This is crazy.
Well, that Maui's a whole another. I mean, what has taken place there is just absolutely devastating, and you know, now I got a notation on that. Let me see which medium that came into me from. Here we go. Coincidentally, the Maui police chief John Pelletier was also the incident commander during a Las Vegas mass shooting. That's one piece that's out there. I haven't verified that, but I find that to be interesting, shall we say. Another piece about that is let me see, let me go over here, having to do with who is where did I get that piece of information from? But apparently BlackRock and others are now set to go in and create what they call 15-minute cities, and so their plan is to literally take over Lahuna where this took place, and build a 15-minute city.
Well, if that I don't know about any of that. I'm not familiar with the kinds of what you're talking about. But what I am familiar with is that the federal emergency management folks are nowhere to be found. We're again, sending billions that are benefiting American contractors to Ukraine. And we can't find $1,000 for a family in Maui. So this is the problem. But those are the people, those are the kind of people that President Trump has been fighting for. And these are the people that the establishment folks who want to control and exercise power do not care about. They only care about their exercise of power and authority. And this is why they essentially do not pay attention to the law, pretend that the law is what they pretend it wanted. The folks in the public media supporting them and praising them for pretending the law to be something that it's not. And so we're, but certainly one would hope that the mobilization of 15, 20, 25 million people will make up for the fact that they're going to try and tie up President Trump in four courtrooms over on the East Coast. And I'm looking forward, we're looking forward certainly to Reverend Lee's day in court to ask a jury, is knocking on a door a crime? Talking to somebody on a telephone a crime? Is offering pastoral advice to an individual under stress a crime? These are the kinds of things that I'll be asking the jury when it comes to that. Somewhere 2 years down the road, by the way, it's not going to happen overnight, which is very strange because it should happen overnight because the thing that they built is so such a house of cards. It is so it is built on junk and garbage, but it does follow the pattern. It does follow the pattern of that Florida, in the documents case, there's something called the Presidential Records Act that generally puts the president in charge of what documents he takes with him and gives him the authority over them. And so now in Florida, they tried to make what's normal, regular legal activity, they tried to classify that as illegal. The same thing that they tried to do with the January 6th charges against the president, normal legal activity, they tried to say that it is illegal. And now here in Georgia, again, normal legal activity that there's 160 acts that are in a regular world. If they were not trying to crucify President Trump, and I regret momentarily utilizing that analogy because that belongs in a separate category, but they're trying to politically assassinate President Trump. But they're doing so with tools that they just made up that are nowhere to be found in the law. So we'll be moving along to do that. But I just want to reiterate at the end, we've already beaten them once relative to Reverend Lee here in Illinois.
Right.
And for somebody to say that this is some sort of unstoppable juggernaut that's going to end President Trump's career and end him as a threat to the establishment power, I believe that they're sadly mistaken. Even though they may tie him up, I believe it's going to motivate 15, 20, 30, 40 million people for themselves to go knock on doors and hopefully not get arrested for knocking on a door.
Well, and you know, as I've watched, you know, the groundswell in social media, David, that's exactly what I've observed. What I've observed is that people are doubling down and saying, okay, you know what, even if he's, you know, handcuffed, but if he is, unable due to whatever circumstance to go out and hold as many rallies as he might otherwise hold, there are others that are going to be holding rallies for him unsolicited, that are saying, you know, we see what this is. We understand who this is actually targeting. And yeah, President Trump may be the face upon it or at the head of the line, but just like this indictment, I mean, the fact that you have, you know, 18 other quote unquote co-conspirators that are added to it, folks, this is the evidence that shows you they're not just after President Trump. Oh no. They are after anybody who holds to God, family, country. You are the enemy. You are the domestic terrorists that they're after. And this administration, these are tyrants. These are tyrants. And that's what we're standing against, is a godless tyranny. David, thanks for being with me today. I greatly appreciate it. We're going to take our break. We'll be back. Hour number two is starting right now. Melanie Collette joins me coming up on the other side. I'm your host, Pastor Greg.